Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, this is Rosie Holt here, and this is a special episode of Time for Questions, our Q&A non-censored spin-off that we recorded for our Patreon supporters at the start of February. We're putting it out here on our main feed because there's no regular show this week, but if you want to hear future Time for Questions, you'll need to subscribe at patreon.com/non-censored, where you'll get ad-free episodes and bonus podcasts like these, in video as well as audio, longer video segments, and, well, anything we can think of, really. There's even a weekly behind-the-scenes podcast for the top-tier Patreons. So if you can, go to patreon.com/non-censored and sign up today. I'm Harriet Langley Swindon, and this is Time for Questions. Hello and welcome to Non-Censored Time for Questions, the spin-off podcast where I, Harriet Langley Swindon, my producer Martin, and
Hello.
Our diversity correspondent Ishan Akbar answer your questions.
Namaste.
Now, this is exclusively for our patrons, so thank you very much for your support and for your questions this month. Now, Martin, let's get going.
Oh, yes, absolutely. We've got so many questions. Are you ready? Is everyone feeling warmed up? Ishan, you ready for the the questions to come at you?
Yes, Martin.
Okay, all right. I just thought I'd whip people up into a frenzy before I started reading out the question. But I'll just begin.
I just feel very uncomfortable when you're that enthusiastic with me.
Yeah, no, that's fair enough. So our first question comes from Simon Meacher, and he says, Harriet, what is on your Spotify day list? Perhaps some Tory-loving Gary Barlow or Tony Hadley or Brexit fan Roger Daltrey. So what's on there?
Sorry, what's a day list?
It's Spotify. It's the music. It's Ishan knows. Ishan, you.
I'll explain this. So Spotify, the music app you'll be familiar with, they come up with something called the Daylist, which basically curates music from various different sources to match your moods throughout the day, because, you know, no one's day is consistently up here or down here, and they see your listening interest. They use AI to give you a sense of your mood throughout the day.
Well, Ishan, how clever.
Is that the same one with the DJ who's like, hey, Ishan, we're listening to the cool things that you listened to 14 years ago? That was my impression of, I think that's relatable, because anyone who's, that's the voice that he, I think everyone has the same DJ.
I will ask this with the kindness of my heart. Please never, ever do that again.
Impressions can be fun sometimes.
I didn't like it.
Anyway, who's on your day list, Ishan?
My day list is actually quite confusing, because I just have the Rocky theme on repeat.
Oh, that's nice. Yes.
Strong. Just explain
get
a lot
you,
as
get
well.
You ready.
Yeah.
Get you ready for life, really.
Yeah, up and down the escalators, up and down stairs constantly. I can't stop.
Do you find you run everywhere?
Absolutely. I'm just, even when the doors are opening on the tube and it's packed, I'm trying to get through everybody with a da-da-da in my head constantly.
Find yourself in meat lockers attacking the corpses of pigs hung up.
Yeah.
Ready to...
Meat locker, foot locker, all of them.
Okay. All the big ones.
Well, who asked the question, Producer Martin?
Well, that was a question from Simon Meacher, and it was specifically for Harriet.
Simon.
So since you don't know
well,
what a day list
Simon,
is...
Simon, well, no, I can still talk about it. Simon, I don't have Spotify. I am on a different platform.
What, Classic FM?
No.
Oh, Ishan, I am very classical, it's true. But no, a dear friend of mine has set up his own music platform called Blipify. And I listen to that because I'm supportive. It only has the tracks of Barry Manilow. It also has some Dua Lipa, which I don't mind some Dua Lipa, and Steps. So those are the ones that I tend to listen to in a day. I wouldn't say they're the only music I like, but they're the only music I listen to.
I do feel like that is very reflective of you, because you have, as a person, Dua Lipa, Manilow, Steps energy rolled into one. There's very much...
Thank you.
Harry, can I...
I think it's a platform that knows me.
Can I ask how much you're paying for this platform?
Well, I think that's a bit rude, producer
Martin.
Well,
I only ask that, isn't it? Because if you're only listening to the complete works of Manilow, Steps and Dua Lipa, you could probably buy all of the CDs for about, you know, under £15 and just listen to them.
Producer Martin, it's about supporting small businesses, and it's my friend's business. He puts a lot of money in a lot of places, and this is his pet project and he needs some help with it. So
yes.
Wow.
I'm doing my bit.
I'm really impressed by that Daylist, actually, because you have the looks of Manilow, you have the energy of Steps, and you have the... I'll stop.
Yes,
the
you've got it all wrong.
Is it the heart
of Dua Lipa?
The
looks of Dua Lipa.
I'm sorry to tell you, Harry, you really, really don't have the looks of Dua Lipa.
Wow. Okay, well, on that insulting note, I should probably move on to our next question. It's from Tony Penny.
It's very upsetting.
Tony Penny says, perhaps you can each say a bit about what led you to your career choice. Influences? Role models?
Maybe you should start with this one.
Yes.
You're the man behind the scenes, and just because your life looks little and insignificant doesn't mean it is.
Okay, so that's offensive.
But I think tell our listeners.
Yes, well, it all started when I was 4 years old, and I remember my father, who was, a wonderful man, he bought a little pocket radio for me. And even though I was only four, I was so amazed at the noises coming out of it. And I thought, you know, not so much about the person that was having a talk on the radio, but the people that made it happen.
Producer Martin, how long is this story going to be? Could we sort of... wind it up a bit.
I was four. Fast forward, and then I guess I'm here, and I'm working in radio. So that's the much shorter version.
Who are your heroes, producer Martin?
All of the big ones. The hard thing is most producers are very not shy but humble, like Shakira's. Mm. Hips?
No, that
her
was
hips
her
are
breasts.
Truthful. Her breasts are humble. Yes.
And I think, so, were they? Oh, yes, they were, the small and humble.
Actually, Shakira is a wonderful metaphor because, she is known for her singing, but at the same time, what keeps her there, her humility and her truthfulness. And that they're two qualities that I like to think that I bring to the table as a producer.
Well, that's very lovely, producer Martin. What led me to my career choice? Well, I just wanted to make the world a better place, really. I didn't have any heroes as such because I don't believe in heroes. I believe one is one's own hero. So my hero has always been me. I've always looked up to me and thought how wonderful that I am what I am. And that's really inspired me to keep going through some pretty dark periods, to be honest. I started as a journalist because with a hunger for truth and an ability to speak to the people. And as the times changed, so did I. So when it came to broadcasting, I thought, yes, problem when I'm just writing, people can maybe able to see my words, but they can't hear my voice. And my voice is, I've been told by several people, very melodic and very soothing. And I thought, well, I owe it.
Yes. And I suppose if you were writing in the way that you speak, it would all be in caps, wouldn't it? Which is quite an aggressive way. And it's not the house style at most publications.
Well, that, you know, I did, when I did write journalism, that was how I communicated. Mm-hmm. Yes. And some publications weren't ready for that.
No.
They said, we're going to have to put some grammar in here or some full stops.
Yeah.
And can you not use caps? So I did the sort of alt toggle thing, which I thought was very effective.
Is that why it was called the Metro? Is that because...
Thank you. Yes.
That's all in, that's in all caps.
Mm.
All the other ones aren't. Well, the
no,
Times.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. I was in that meeting.
Yes.
Someone said it. I responded by shouting it. And yes, they went, that's what we'll call it.
Yes.
And Ishan.
Then I left.
What was the Genesis story for you? I mean, were you bitten by a radioactive comedian, and then you grew up, and now that this is your comedy joke man,
I'll tell you what happened. I am a comedian, and
yes,
I was bitten by the bug of sorts,
oh,
Martin. You know, but really the bug and where the genesis of that bug was
yes,
was actually the 2003 Iraq War. I would say
right,
that,
not
yes,
not what? Traditionally what people find funny.
No, you know, I just found it funny that we invaded a country on the promise of them having weapons of mass destruction post a terrorist attack in the USA in 2001.
Yeah.
And we found nothing, and we spent hundreds of billions of pounds. And I thought, you know what, that's bloody hilarious, that is. And then that began my journey into comedy. And then, of course, sometimes on this show, I will be your diversity correspondent. In terms of role models, you know, I look up to Dr. Shola Moss Shogbamimu, because I think that she is somebody who really knows how to do it. So I'm very lucky that in terms of my inspiration, I've got the comedian president in George Bush, Shola Moss Shogbamimu, put them together, you get Ishan Akbar.
Ishan,
I just have to say that just because you don't see something doesn't mean it's not there.
Like God.
Like, or Windows.
Yes, like God, or like the benefits of Brexit.
Yes. Yes.
So, I'd think twice when you start criticising Britain's
fairy
choices.
No one's ever seen a tooth fairy in the flesh, have they?
No. They have, actually. They have.
Okay.
Yes. My grandma Betty, she used to see the tooth fairy everywhere. She was losing them all the time.
Oh, okay.
And she became convinced that the tooth fairy had sort of rather nefarious, you know, intentions. And she said that...
Was the tooth fairy a refugee?
That's very silly, Ishan. No, it wasn't a refugee. I think it was a sort of evil spirit.
Mm.
And she said had little kind of little teeth that were very sort of pointy, and quite scary, actually. I think Betty never really got over it, to be honest.
Poor Betty.
Mm. Harriet, I'm sorry to interrupt.
Completely toothless by the end.
Your absolutely thrilling tale of Betty and her teeth. But I've just realised there was a coda to this question. It's actually a follow-up question from Laura Elizabeth, who said, I would like to hear the origin stories of Harriet, Martin and Ishan. We've kind of already done that. But mostly Martin. I stan for producer Martin. So I think, although I have touched on it, I think it's probably worth me going back and telling you that when I was 4 years old, my father bought me a radio, and this radio was
Martin,
the most magnificent.
Skip until you were six.
Right. No, that's fine. Well, maybe I can write up an article, or you can follow me online and get my
hot takes. Why don't you write an article and post it on Medium.com?
Oh, is that
where?
The place to put
Medium? They have blogs on there, don't they?
Is that a place to pop your life stories?
Yeah, do it there.
I was going to just open up OnlyFans because I don't want anything
in your case,
weird.
OnlyFan.
Oh.
Oh, no, okay. That was quite cruel, actually, Ishan.
Oh,
that's rude. Sorry. Well,
I'm sure I think he's got at least two.
Thank you, which would mean that I qualify for OnlyFans. Now, we do have another question here. We have another question here from Paige Starr. Okay, now strap in, because it's a bit of a long one. It seems there has been insufficient attention paid to the Conservatives' profound concern for the well-being of the asylum seekers they're sending to Rwanda. Where is the coverage of the gift bags each asylum seeker will receive from the UK government, containing maps of Kigali, mini travel guides, and the Kraft Market discount coupons? Surely this proves the Tories truly have the refugees' best interests at heart.
That is so lovely. I mean, what's wonderful is, Paige, I hadn't heard of that information, but the fact that you're saying it and you are a fan of the show makes me believe that it's true. And it makes me think we weren't paying attention, because I think we clearly, even though we don't realise it, we're being so fed by the mainstream media, which is very left-wing, very biased against the government, that we weren't aware of these gift bags. But it's just wonderful, you know.
There's another item that she's actually missed out, because they actually have a printout, a Google Maps printout, of the walking route back to where they came from Kigali.
Nice.
I've got to say, I am a fan of gift bags, and I don't think there's enough of them out there. So if the Tories are handing out gift bags, it's tricky, because this does sound pretty offensive. But on the other hand, who doesn't love a gift bag? I mean, it happens at children's
parties.
Well,
I heard as well, when
for some reason there's a cutoff.
When the refugees get there, they're given apparently a gift bag, but I didn't know about that. But I know that they are given a little picture of a house. It's a picture of the house with Suella Braverman on the front pointing at it.
Oh, that sounds charming.
And that's theirs. They get to keep that. Look, Rwanda is a really lovely, sunny, lovely, lovely place. Okay, yeah. That everyone loves.
A legally safe place.
Yes, it's safe. It's a legally safe, lovely, lovely place. Actually, I have to say, you know, if the government can change it from being unsafe to safe, which I think is a real feat, surely they can change it to questionable to very, very lovely. Surely we can enshrine that in law as well. I mean,
yes,
it's such an easy fix. All these problems and queries about Rwanda, let's get the law in. You know, the law is our servant, not our master.
Did you know Rwanda backwards? Right, Rwanda backwards is Adnor, yeah, which is Rwandan for nice.
Oh, isn't that nice?
Quite clever, isn't it?
That's
did they
very
do that
nice.
On purpose?
Yes.
Just to
throw people off.
Probably.
Listen,
Producer Martin, do you think you should get in touch with Paige and suggest she become one of our reporters?
Well, I was going to suggest we send her a gift bag, but I don't think we have any. And also, as a father, I know how expensive it is to provide gift bags at parties. So maybe we'll just give her a little. She's had a shout out, so she should be happy with that. There's your gift bag, Paige.
Right.
Next up, we have Claire Nurk, who asks, she says, I'd like to ask Harriet who she would have voted for if she would have had to stand in minus 20 degrees Celsius to vote in the Iowa caucus. Who would it be if you were out there in the States? Would it have been Trump?
What's the Iowa caucus?
It was the Republican nominee for presidential candidate. You know, Donald Trump?
He's not guaranteed.
Yes, in America, in Iowa. In particular, it's very cold. Everyone's queuing up outside to try and let them know who they thought should be the Republican nominee. Would you have gone for Nikki Haley? Would you have gone for one of the other? Is there anyone else?
I think
there's Vivek Ramaswamy, Ron DeSantis, Donald Trump.
They're all still hanging in there.
I admire Nikki Haley, but I also think she's slightly getting in the way, isn't she? She's splitting up the vote. You know, in America, they don't like women leading, and you've got to listen to the people.
Yeah,
and they're not ready for women. They are ready for Donald Trump. They've had him once. I think they can have him again, and he's older and wiser now.
Yes,
so
Harriet,
he'll be even better.
Do you think that there was something quite prescient in Beyonce when she said, "I don't think you're ready for this jelly"? Do you think that was a social commentary on the political landscape rather Martin. Than just a funky song.
Yes, Martin, that's very good.
Very, yeah, very, very insightful.
Yeah, very good point, Martin. And I think someone needs to put that to Nikki Haley.
Right. So
because it, I don't think we are ready for this
Haley. I don't think you're ready for this Haley. I don't think you're ready for this Haley. Is my politics bootalicious for you, babe?
See, this is what we don't remember this, and we don't utilise this enough in the show, that not only is he a comedian and commentator, Ishan Akbar can also sing.
A wonderful voice. Mm. I'm not going to argue with that. There's a lot of fun. I'd prefer to have a bit more of that, actually, and less of your, spicy takes, to be honest. Now, the next question comes from Ryan Chomiak. He says...
Hello, Ryan.
Has the government... lost sight of its core pledge to stop the boats, as we saw key stalwarts Lee Anderson and Brendan Clark-Smith resign? So what do you think, they've lost sight of it? Or are the boats on the horizon? Has that policy been sunk?
When the boats are as small as they are, it's very hard to keep sight of them in choppy waters, you know? They're human beings, these people.
But I do.
Lee Anderson and Nigel Farage going to the White Cliffs of Dover, looking out for these tiny little boats with hundreds of men on them, and it's just men. It's actually quite tricky because it's difficult to tell in the water the difference between a man and a fish.
Well, as
they kind of blend into the same, don't they?
Anyone that's played Battleships. Will know, when you the big boat's quite easy to hit. You hit one and then you go, oh, just go in any direction. Well, it's like six hits.
Yes.
But the little two-point boats, they're very hard. I usually hide them in the corner or near the corner because I think people like to scattergun around the middle usually. So that would be my... I know he's not asking about battleships, but that's my advice.
But a battleships is actually relevant... It is actually relevant to this question, Producer Martin. Yes. And I hope that the government haven't taken their eye off the ball and are playing battleships in real life and as practice in the evenings.
But we must also extend grace to our politicians. You know, these little boats are very sneaky. They hide behind these big Russian yachts and Saudi Arabian yachts. They just use them as covers. And as we know, we need Saudi Arabian and Russian business.
Well, yes, we do.
So, frankly, get the little boats out of the way. Let the big yachts come along.
Yes, right. I think that's the thing, isn't it? I mean, I do worry with this government. I don't like to criticise them. We're in an election year. We've all got to stick together and be patriotic. But I hope that they are keeping their eye on the boat.
Yes.
You know, I think stop the boats. This is what I miss about Suella. You know, she used to come on this show. You could tell even throughout the interviews, she was continually trying to stop those boats, even while she was talking to us.
I think that
was really commendable. And we don't have that now.
Since
she left, we don't have that. James Cleverly, I haven't heard him say it. I don't think I've heard him say it once.
I think what would really help is if Lee Anderson and everybody else had a song to help get rid of the boats. And I think I've got it. It should be, go, go, go your boats quickly down the stream. Merrily, 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 merrily. This is not your dream.
Oh, that's very clever. That's a very subverting of a nursery rhyme.
Well, I don't think they are coming down the stream, are they? I don't think it's not the streams that they're crossing.
That's true, Martin.
It's very the channel is a very difficult word to rhyme. Mm. The only thing that rhymes with channel is flannel.
Well, that's a good point. I mean, I don't know any songs that sing about flannels, to be honest, which is sad. Now, our next question, we have a trio of questions from Kieran Hines. I wouldn't usually allow someone to ask three questions because that's quite a lot. But
it's a lot of questions.
No one else actually wrote in, so I thought I'd allow them.
Well,
and also,
right,
they're
Martin,
quite good questions.
Say that.
So here we go. In the nightmare scenario of a Labour election victory, and after all legal avenues of protest have been exhausted, what would you do? Could you live in woke Britannia?
Wow. Well, Kieran, I mean, part of me would want to pack up and leave, but I'm a brave woman And I don't shy away from Labour and the wokies. And if Labour do get in, then I think nonsense will be more important than ever. Because let's face it, Labour already are winning all the other wars in this country.
In the polls.
They've taken over everything.
Moral victories.
All they've got left is the little government. And I hope they don't take our little government, but if they do, then all the British people will have to cling on to is non-censored.
Yes, yes. And can I just say, if we do have the nightmare of a Labour government, I am not averse to us having a new Guy Wokes Day.
Oh. What would Guy Wokes Day, what would that involve?
Guy Wokes Day would involve setting off fireworks during Prime Minister's questions.
Right. Are you saying...
to distract...
Wait, are we now being
nonsense
pro-destroying
it's a bit anarchic,
government?
I'm afraid, Ishan.
I think you've misunderstood what Guy Fawkes Day is about, because it's not an anti... We're not celebrating his anti-government intention. I think rather... I mean, what... He was trying to blow up the king, was he? What was he doing? Why did he have so many fireworks?
He's just trying to build a bonfire, I think.
There were sparklers.
I thought he was just trying to get some street food business... Clapham Common.
I think it might have been underneath the Houses of Parliament, though. Right. I'm sorry, Kieran Hines. I can't help you out with whatever you're talking about there. Could I live in woke Britannia, though? Yes, I could, very happily. Would it be really woke?
Yeah, of course
I don't
could.
Know that it would. The majority of our papers and publications are right-wing leaning. It's not going to change the way that the TV news
is
reported.
Which is not true, producer
and,
Martin.
To be honest, a lot of the Labour policies are still a little conservative. So would it be woke? I don't really think so, but that's just my opinion. And what do I know? I'm just
what an absolute load of drivel. The wokies have taken over. You do realise that, producer Martin? What people are looking at is TikTok and The Guardian.
Yes, yes.
And it shows that the wokies have a hold on everything.
And here's the thing: when you hold a newspaper, you hold it with the right, strong, stable, but you have to turn it with the left repeatedly. They keep flip-flopping their opinions and their pronouns.
Yeah, oh, that is so true. It just shows to show why you should only read headlines. That's all we need.
Yes.
Don't go into reading it. That is flippy-floppy.
Right. Well, we've got a follow-up question here from Kieran Hines. He says, should the government consider raising the voting age, say, to about 75? If we're going to truly make Britain great again and embrace the best of the 1950s, we should only let those lucky enough to have been alive at the time to have a say. It was truly the best of times, after all. Misbehaving children could be thrashed, nurses wore proper uniforms, and best of all, we still had hanging. So should the voting age be raised to 75? I mean, there's a lot of nostalgia there for what sound like pretty awful things, but what do you think?
Well, Ishan, I think you should start with this one. What do you think about this question?
I really like this policy. I think it's a very, very clever idea, Kieran, because, you know, I think in life it's important sometimes to forget the bad things and remember the good. And, you know, I feel like those in their mid to late 70s, maybe even older, are pretty good at forgetting the bad and remembering only the good. And that can only be a positive thing for our nation if they're able to vote. Vote on the basis of the good stuff that Britain gave the world. Because we did. We gave the world many things, like trains and trade and Cadbury's.
And tea.
We gave the world tea and spices.
Yes, I think that's very true. I mean, I will say, Kieran, it's a nice idea, but, you know, I'm pretty youthful myself, and I'd say that my vote counts for rather a lot. I think there is nothing wrong with raising the voting age slightly, or maybe the older you get, the more votes you get.
Yes.
I like that. Or maybe the richer you get, the more votes you get, because... that just shows you've really sort of worked hard for your constitutional rights.
Yes.
And I like that idea. So maybe we could do a variation on that idea, I think, Kieran.
Interesting. Okay. And finally, I mean, obviously, I think that's madness. I wouldn't agree to that. But finally, If you could invite anyone, living or dead, who would be in your dream Strictly lineup? Now, this is a great question. Ishan, we're going to go straight to you. You've been singing, you've been dancing this whole episode. Who would be in your dream lineup?
Fred Astaire.
Oh, yes, lovely.
Oh, very Michael good. Jackson. Yes, he'd be... Oh, he's... Yes, okay.
No, good old Michael Jackson.
Elvis Presley.
Oh.
And is it four I get?
Well, I think you'd have as many as you want.
Whatever you want.
Okay. I should have someone a bit diverse, shouldn't I? I guess I've got Michael Jackson. He's black and white, isn't he?
Yes, that's right. He covers all bases.
Are there any good female dancers from the past? No, they're all a bit frumpy.
Yeah, the Bronte sisters. I
don't think they're known for their dancing.
Very sad.
Like Ginger Roberts, wasn't she the, did everything Fred Astaire did, but backwards and in heels? Pretty good.
I'd like Ginger Spice in mine. Yeah, Ginger Spice. I also think I agree with all of Ishan's options, but I'd want, because there's always a funny one, isn't there? Like when John Sessions did it or Ed Balls. So I would like Winston Churchill. Oh. I think he'd have been very jolly.
Yes.
You know, he wouldn't be a good dancer, but we know he'd be fun. And I think we'd get a good laugh out of that. You've got to think not just of the good dancers, but the good entertainers.
That's very good. Very true point.
So
true
I think
point.
That would be really, really nice.
Bernard Manning.
Yes.
Oh.
Yes, and one of the Mitford sisters to add a bit of class.
Interesting. For me, personally, a bit of a rogue choice, but I'd go for the 1993 squad of Aston Villa. We'd have Paul McGrath, Mark Bosnich. Get all the boys out. See how they're doing after so long. I bet they've still got the moves. Yeah. They certainly had the moves on the pitch. Coca-Cola Cup winners.
They certainly did.
2 years running. So good luck to the lads, and I'd like to see them moving. Who knows? Maybe we can get that going sometime soon. Well, that's all the questions we had this month. We'll be back with another one of these next month. So keep your questions coming in, not just Kieran Hines this time, although we do appreciate those. Keep the questions coming in the comments of this on Patreon. Thank you again for all our support. We're well on our way to making Nonsensed a sustainable project.
Martin, you know I don't like sustainable things. It's a good job I kept my Land Rover's engine idling all the way through that because I don't want people to think I'm an eco-warrior. Anyway, thank you to Rosie Holt, Brendan Murphy, Ishan Akbar and Ed Morrish. I'm Harriet Langley Swindon and we'll be back next month with more Time for Questions.